In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ, last Sunday I made the claim that God this year would continue to bless us with wonderful gifts. Already today, my claim has come true, as you and I get to celebrate Epiphany on Sunday, rather than it disappearing amongst the days of the week. We Gentiles gather together in worship this morning, and along with Simeon rejoice, because we have seen the Lord's Christ. We have seen He who is the glory of the Lord, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of His people Israel. Luther's contemporary Erasmus once said, "Give light, and the darkness will disappear of itself." The truth of Erasmus' words came true again for us this morning as in the East the dawn dispelled the darkness, as the light filled and drove away the night. This morning, the prophet Isaiah speaks about a different dawn, the dawn of our salvation. The salvation that has dawned over the entire world, Jew and Gentile alike. Although today, Epiphany, Gentile Christmas, we emphasize the fact that Jesus came not only for His own people, but He came also for us. He is the glory of the Lord that displaces the darkness that covers the earth, that dispels the gross darkness that covers the people. This day has dawned on Jew and Gentile alike in the birth of Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, into the flesh. This is His day of grace. We summarize Isaiah's words in our theme for today, Christ is the manifestation of the glory of the Lord. We see, first of all, that God reveals in person His glory, and secondly, that God's glory in person is productive for the enjoyment of all. I was very careful and specifically chose the word manifestation for the theme of our sermon this morning. It has the Latin root that means to touch with the hand. And in the larger word manifestation, we see the smaller word man. And today we remember that the glory of the Lord came to the earth in a man. It was manifested in person, in the person of Jesus, the son of Mary, and the legal son of Joseph. God reveals the glory of the Lord in the person of Jesus. This baby was a human being, is a human being, whom both Mary and Joseph could tenderly stroke. This baby was a true human being that the shepherds could hear and could see. The glory of the Lord came in person, a person whom the rabbis circumcised 8 days after He was born so that He could already begin to shed His holy blood that covers our sins. 40 days after Jesus was born, His parents brought Him to Jerusalem to do for Him what the law said, the purification of Mary and the dedication of her baby to God. And while she was there, Simeon took this man, this human being, in his arms and said, I can die now because I have seen the glory of the Lord, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. The Nunc Dimittis that we so often sing in our worship. About a century after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, the Apostle John wrote of this man, the person Jesus Christ, the Word was made flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God, full of grace and truth. The Apostle Paul, in our second lesson today, writes of his ministry of making known that manifestation of God's glory, of revealing to the Ephesians the eternal purpose accomplished in Christ. He wanted to assure those Gentiles that they were now one church together with the Jews because of their Savior. Christ is the manifestation of the glory of the Lord in person. He is the gospel. He is our release from the power of sin, from death, and from the devil. He is the one who in the written and spoken word calls us from death to life by the Spirit. Christ is the manifestation of the glory of the Lord. He is the gospel. He sent that glory to cover you and me in the person of the man, Jesus Christ. Christ is that light. Just as the sun rises in the east and the dawn dispels the darkness, so Christ has risen in our hearts and has dispelled that darkness of sin and unbelief, that gross darkness of being God's enemy by nature, and that dawn of salvation has risen in us. John wrote, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We can't understand it because of that darkness, that gross darkness of our total depravity and of our wickedness that we have by nature. All we can do is be at enmity with God by nature. All we can do is stumble around in the dark, tripping over our lusts and our sinful desires, pulled by the nose by our sinful flesh in rebellion against God. That's the gross total darkness that covers the hearts of men. But rising in the gospel, rising in the coming of Jesus Christ, not only for the Jews, but also for all the nations, is Jesus Christ. That light that shines into our hearts. Dear Gentile Christians, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as the children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Paul also wrote to the Ephesians. Isaiah puts it this way, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises over you. The prophet Isaiah is like your parent or your spouse that after night comes in as the sun is shining and rising, shakes you awake, and says, get up! Rise and shine. The night is over. The day has dawned. Put off all spiritual laziness, sleepiness, and sluggishness. Because shining in your heart is that radiant light who was made flesh, who obeyed the law, who offered His life on the cross, who rose again and ascended into heaven for your salvation. He has sent the Holy Spirit to call, to gather you into the church, to enlighten you with His gifts, so that you and I can now shine out in that radiant glory of Christ. We now in the church shine in that reflected light of He who is the light. That is our enjoyment. That is our pleasure. God's glory in person is productive of enjoyment for all. Isaiah saw in prophecy the day of the glory of the New Testament church. In the Old Testament church, there was one nation, one language, one culture. Isaiah saw the day of the New Testament church that would have many languages, that would come from many nations, that would have many cultures. Isaiah calls us, "Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm." Think back in the congregations that you've belonged to over the years. Think of the people who, through the gospel ministry of your congregations, were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This morning, lift up your heads and look around. Look around and remember how God has brought sons and daughters from afar to believe in Jesus Christ through the gospel ministry that we do as the church. And I would bet that they don't all speak the same language or have the same skin color or have the same cultural backgrounds. God is gathering from the corners of the world His people who belong to Him. Sons and daughters who are carried on His arm. And that's the picture there of a parent carrying a child in his arms close to his breast. I remember one of the very first picnics that my wife and I went to for international children. Our two older children are Korean, and we went to this picnic for international adoption. And our children were about 4 and 5, I think. And I still remember all those adoptive parents carrying all these children in their arms from all different countries, from Russia, from Korea, from China, from South America, from Africa. All their children, all being held closely to their hearts. And that's the picture of the church that Isaiah saw that we celebrate in Epiphany. That God brings all these Gentiles, us, into the church in Christ by that light. And there He gives us and takes care of all of our spiritual needs. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Epiphany reminds us also that all prejudices are contrary to the family of believers. There is only that one concern for each other, that carrying each other in one another's arms. It is our chief purpose to take the gospel of salvation out into the world, to all people. We do that in our community. We do that as we support home and world missions in our synod. And we do that without prejudging who should hear it. That's what prejudice means, to prejudge. Epiphany is about the lack of prejudice that we have about whom we take the gospel to in our ministry, knowing that God wants sons and daughters from all nations to come and join us in the church. The glory of the Lord has come in person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord is the gospel of salvation. Christ is that gospel. Paul writes in our second lesson, "The mystery is this, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ." As we think about all those people that God has brought to faith through the gospel, our hearts throb and swell with joy that those people have joined us. And our hearts throb and swell with joy as they and we bring our modern day camels and our urban herds to the Lord's offering, as we bring our very best gifts to sacrifice to the Lord for the furthering of His kingdom. With the Magi, you and I come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. You know those cutouts that you see at the state fair and different places like the zoo? You go behind it and you stick your head in the hole, and somebody takes your picture, and you become that person or thing that is on the front. Well, this morning, put your face on the Magi. You and I, on this Epiphany, are the Magi. We bring our gold and our frankincense and our myrrh to the Lord in thanksgiving. Our hearts throb and swell with joy as we bow down to worship the Lord, who is the glory of our salvation. And we become the Magi. Isaiah had foretold it. The Lord has fulfilled it. And we Gentiles enjoy it as the light of the world, Christ, shines in our hearts. Amen.